Dear God, we thank you that your book is full of things that change our lives. God, we've run from change for so long, but now we're ready. God, we've tried to change ourselves, it don't work. So whatever information or knowledge, whatever supernatural, spiritual things that you can use to make us more filled with self-control, that our anger would subside, that our obsessions would be at ease, that our lusts would be in control, that our battles with our flesh and our, especially our depressions, God, would be lifted. Thank you, God, that you are the one who said to us, "Behold, the old things have passed away. I make all things new." Make us new again. We need it. Use your word tonight. In Christ's name, amen. As we started last week, the book of Proverbs, we continue in the second chapter today. I want to make it interactive. I want to make it learning, not just in the learning of what Scripture says, but also how to study Scriptures. If, and I will say this with a big I, if all you do is open your Bible when you're at church, please stay home. Really. I can't help you. If all you do is eat my vomited meals, then you're missing the best part of the relationship. In which case, I suggest to you, stay away from church for a little while. If you see no difference in your life with church and without church, without reading the Word of God, you're better off without it, because who wants to get yelled at every week twice? I encourage you to read your Bible by yourself on your own. I'm about to share with you the things God showed me. I'm going to literally regurgitate it and spiritually give it to you. But let me tell you, God wants to show you something he hasn't shown anybody else in 2,000 plus years. Don't you want to see it for yourself? Don't you want that exciting part? Like, wow, Ryan, did you ever hear this before? It's like, no, I don't even know what you're talking about. God showed me this. It's a crazy thing when you first start hearing from God, you struggle a lot with what God showed you for you and what God showed you to share with somebody else. So you could always tell newbies who first start to teach the Bible, they want to do like a 2.5-hour Bible study. And you're like, dude, I could only process so much information at once. Oh, but I gotta show you what God showed me. Maybe he showed it for you. Too much good stuff here. I understand. Believe me, we all have been there. With those thoughts in mind, chapter 2, verse 1 of the book of Proverbs, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Give me your attention, pen in hand. I hope, I pray you will look at verse 2, so that you incline your ear to wisdom. I want you to circle the word for wisdom. And then I want you to go to your Bible app, and I want you to put in as a word search, wisdom. Wisdom occurs 215 times in the New King James. 215 times the word wisdom occurs. It might behoove us to find out what that word wisdom means, since it occurs so much. Now, because we are reading one of the wisdom books, I encourage you to mark up your Bible, highlight it. One of my early Bible studies, when I first got addicted to reading the Bible. Now, if you're new to Scripture, I want you to know something extremely important here. I barely graduated high school. I actually graduated six months late. I eked and squeaked by. I did not like reading. Reading was not my thing. I was not a big reader. As a matter of fact, I was not a reader at all. The best I could hope to do was I used to like to read poetry. So I find out all this weird poetry, but it had to be short, because if it was any of that Shakespearean stuff that was more than like 10 verses, it lost me. So I learned how to read poetry, something they call in the Chinese proverbs a haiku. Anybody know what a haiku is? Haiku is a short, simple, to-the-point proverb or poem. When I first got saved and they said I had to read a book that had 2,000 pages, I was like, well, I guess this ain't for me. So I'd go to church and be like, you just keep preaching, preacher boy, because I ain't reading this thing. And then if you guys were here a few months ago, we talked about some of the stuff. I read some Chuck Missler stuff to you about the numerical codes. And I was like, oh, man, is that in there? Well, I guess I can read a chapter. So I did. Picked up the book of John and read the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning. I was like, why does God talk like that? I remember, it's really funny. It's so crazy. I have a very good friend of mine. I love him so much. His name's George. George is afflicted with, well, he went to too many raves as a young man, and he kind of fried his brain a little bit. And he's now what you would say paranoid. And he doesn't understand the difference between conviction and paranoia. So when we used to go to church together, when I was a young believer, he used to go to church with me, and every time the Lord would speak to his heart, he'd literally get mad at me. He'd go, bro, you told that pastor what I'm doing, didn't you? I'd be like, no, what are you talking about, man? I'm telling you, man, there's no way he would know that stuff unless you told him. I was like, George, you're feeling conviction. No, man. Sad part of it is, I mean, listen, in his own way, George loves God. And because of the foolish things he did with his life, the drinking and the smoking and the mind-altering drugs, he's never going to obtain the fullest plan that God had for his life. And that's a weird, weird thing to say. But he can't go to church because as soon as the conviction of God comes upon his heart, he gets really paranoid. Now, I don't mean like, bro, you told him, like, everybody in here knows, you told everybody. It's bad. And I mean, I know I'm saying it in a comedic manner, but it's not funny. It's not funny at all. I feel terrible for the guy. I feel terrible for anybody that spent a lot of time smoking too much herb or doing a lot of, you know, do they still do LSD? When I was a kid, it was a lot of mescaline, ecstasy. Never did ecstasy, but if it's the same type of mind-altering stuff, that's... When you first start reading the Bible, I got to tell this story. It's so good. There's a book called The Gospel According to Grace. It's a commentary on the book of Romans by Chuck Smith. And when I was a young believer, this is so funny, guys. I was a young believer. I was maybe a year old in the Lord, and I was playing softball on the church's softball team. And there was a guy on the team. His name was Kevin Sullivan, just like the wrestler. His name was Kevin Sullivan, but he's not the wrestler. And he says to me, bro, I've just read this amazing book. And I go, what's it called? He says, The Gospel According to Grace. Well, you know, I'm just really trying to get into reading the Bible. He goes, man, it's so much easier. It's a commentary on the Bible. So he hands me this book, and it's a little, I think I can do this. And as I open the pages, I start to see they're highlighted. And everything that's highlighted is like about me. You who judge another, do you think your judgment will not fall back on yourself? Like, I'm telling you, it was a month that I hated this guy. It's like he gave me a book, highlighted the crap against my life, and gave it to me to read. I'm like, you judgmental, self-righteous, I mean, in my head. And then as I grew older in the Lord, and as I started to understand, it's like, that's conviction. That's the Holy Spirit inside of you, speaking to you, literally, through the Word of God. Can you not understand how amazing this is? When I'm talking here, and I'm speaking, and I'm preaching God's Word, and some of you guys are like, that burden is on your heart, that heaviness. Guys, that is the Holy Spirit of the living God falling on your heart, proving to you not only that he's real, but proving to you that he loves you. And he wants to change you so that your life is better than it is. And we shuffle. I don't know what he's talking about. Heck with him. Why is he talking to me? But we leave and we don't come back. I've told this story before. We had this little Hispanic woman going back about 7 or 8 years ago in the church. And we all, you know how we used to, well, we're going to get back to it, especially with the COVID thing done now. We used to all get in the middle and lay hands on people and pray over them. Well, one time this woman, I was praying over her. I don't remember her name. Little Hispanic lady. Praying over her, and I said, as clear as I said, listen, I know this is going to sound weird, but I have a word from the Lord for me. And she was like, speak it, Pastor. And I don't, for the life of me, I don't remember, but I gave her a verse. And she like took a step back. She goes, I read that this morning before church. I'm like, well, praise God, it's a confirmation. Never came back again. The last we ever saw her. I don't know whatever went through her head. I don't know, she moved around. Never saw her again. And that's what happens. When God knocks on your heart, listen, in the book of Revelation, the Lord Jesus said, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. If you open the door, I will come in and dine with you. I will eat with you. I will sup with you. All you got to do is let him in. Have access to the heart. Wrap your head around the understanding, around the wisdom that you're not finished yet. There's a lot to do. And it's okay to look at your life and the broken areas of your life and say, you know what? I am messed up. And that's okay. God loves me just the way I am. I didn't come here because I'm perfect. I came here because God wants to make me perfect. You guys got that? You understand? Like Ken Graves told me years ago, he said to me, Ryan, it was not a compliment that you've been chosen by God. It's an honor, but it's not a compliment. Because God chose the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Nobody here was chosen because they're so smart, because they're so pretty, because they're so what? Nobody. We're actually chosen because we're just the opposite. We're pretty much rejected by the world. The word wisdom, let me explain to you what the word wisdom really means. It's knowledge that you apply for a godly purpose. That's the word wisdom, the truest meaning. It's not knowledge. It's knowledge that you have applied for a godly purpose. That's wisdom. You with me? Continuing. Apply your heart to understanding, right? The end of verse 2, apply your heart to understanding. Does everybody have that same verse? Who said knowledge? You're not on the app. So I'm going to understand. Uh-oh, I spelled it wrong. Understanding, and I'm searching. And that occurs 151 times. The word understanding occurs 150 times. It would behoove me to understand the word understanding, right? Now, there is a Bible, there is a Bible methodology, let's call it, called the wisdom of first mention. The first time the word appears in the Bible is usually the purest form of what it means. You with me? The first time this appears is in Exodus 31. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and all manner of workmanship. To understand is to know the situations of your life and how to apply them. That's understanding. Let me give you the best interpretation of understanding. I understand the calling of God on my life. You understand what I'm saying? How many of you here can actually believe, can I say to and believe, I'm exactly where God wants me to be? I understand the plan that God has for my life. And I'm doing it. I am sitting here doing exactly what God called me my whole life to do that I ran from for 40 years. I finally have understanding. When I was trying to be a wise guy in the street, I didn't have understanding. When I was trying to be a singer in a rock and roll band, I didn't have understanding. When I was trying to learn how to be a fighter and I wanted to just box and that's all I wanted to do, that wasn't understanding. No matter how much I gained knowledge and wisdom of those things, now I understand. I have understanding of what the plan God has for me. A lot of people are gaining understanding that they go to the beach on Sunday nights with us. You go to the beach on Sunday night, and I forget who it was. Oh, Big Dave, you said to me, man, I almost prayed for somebody on Sunday night. I almost grabbed somebody. And I was like, bro, go for it. But I warn you, it's an addiction. Because the first time you pray for somebody, you're going to understand the call that God has in your life. And it's going to change everything. And that'll start a whole new struggle. Well, now I want to pray for everybody, but I can't pray for everybody, so who should I pray with? God, tell me who to pray with. Maybe God told me to pray for that guy. Maybe God told me to pray for that guy. What if I pray for somebody that God didn't tell me who to pray for? You think he's going to be mad at you over that? Oh, it starts a whole new struggle, my brother. Continuing. Yes, if you cry out for discernment. Let's do it. D-I-S-C-E-R-N-M-E-N-T. Discernment occurs four times in the New King James. Well, that's not a whole lot. It occurs in Job 12:20. He deprives the trusted ones of speech and takes away the discernment of the elders. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. Well, that's the one we just read. Folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment, but a man of understanding walks uprightly. Philippians 1:9, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and discernment. The first thing I notice about these things is these words seem to all be interconnected. They all occur around the same thing. Now, let's do something. Let's just put the word discern in. Oh, that occurs 13 times. We're not going to look for it. But let me explain to you what discernment is. As I put the Bible app away because it's getting a little boring. Discernment, to discern, is a lost word in our language. It's to have a knowledge of what is being thought, not what's being said. Husbands, you need discernment. Men who are not married, figure this out now. When the woman says to you, "Do I look fat in this?" The proper answer is not, "I've seen fatter." When she says to you, "Do I look fat in this?" you must understand and discern. She's on a fishing expedition, and the answer could determine the fate of your sleeping position for the next week or more. And I will help you out this one time with discernment, because I understand, and I've made poor wisdom choices. The answer is, baby, you got to be fat to look fat, and you ain't fat, so you don't look fat. You understand? Yes, baby, you look fat. P-H-A-T, bring it on over here. I don't suggest that. You know what you do? You do that and let us know how it works out. Discernment. It also has, if you are reading chapter 15, 16, 14 of 1 Corinthians, a very supernatural connotation. To have the gift of discerning of spirits. I've told you this story. I've spent the last 20 plus years, more than that, in prayer meetings. And this crazy thing happens when you're in prayer meetings. You have a feeling, a sense more of anything else, when you're praying with people that are like-minded in unity. It's like our UPS guy, Keith, he calls me up a couple of days ago, about a week ago, and he says, "Bro, I need you." I'm like, "What's the matter? What's the matter?" He says, "Man, I'm telling you, the devil's trying to kick my butt." I'm like, "Brother, when did this start? Last week. Why didn't you call me?" "Man, I didn't want to bother you." "Are you crazy?" So he comes over. I pray over him. I rebuke the enemy. Next day I see him. "Bro, I can't tell you how much better I feel. Man, ever since you prayed for me, I cannot believe how much better I feel." I said, "Dude, don't ever go that long again." "So I'll see you on church on Sunday, right?" He goes, "Oh, got plans on Sunday." "Wednesday? Maybe next Sunday." I said, "You know that if you have this discernment of spirits, my man, this ain't going to stop. And every time this enemy comes back, it's going to get worse and worse on you. The devil came to kill, to steal, and destroy. He didn't come to mess with your life and give you bad dreams. Nightmares are nothing. That's just the beginning of your thing, your problem here." "No, man, I'm going to get in there. But here's the thing. When you're in a circle, I wish I could explain to you. I wish I could say, "Hey, well, here's what discernment feels like." No clue. I just know that through years and years and years and years and hundreds and thousands of times praying with like-minded believers, when there's somebody that's in that circle that's not like-minded, I could feel it. I've been given the discernment of spirits. I ask for that, and it becomes as much a curse as it is a blessing. You that have suffered nightmares and things that I've explained before, what the sociologists will call night terrors or night tremors or things of that nature, where you have these dreams, but they're not dreams, they're more visions, and sometimes you're in the middle of asleep, but you're not asleep, and it's like somebody took electrodes and touched your body, and you don't know what it is, and it lets you go, and you go to the doctor, and you Right? And they'll give you medicine. Don't worry. They'll give you medicine. You don't need medicine. You need to understand what's going on. You have a gift. It's called discernment of spirits. And the enemy wants to scare hell into you. And God wants you to scare the hell out of them. Do you understand me? I pity people who have that discernment. Because I know the struggle. And if you're in a circle, if you pray for somebody, like I prayed for Keith, and you pray, and when you pray, you feel something. You're like, oh my goodness, I know what this dude's in for. Dude, please, don't rest on this thing, man. Don't chill on this thing. You guys with me? I know I'm going slow, but it's important information. Verse 4, if you seek her and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Please let me explain to you. If you want wisdom, understanding, discernment, you can't just say, I want it, so I got it. You gotta pray for it. You gotta fast for it. You gotta ask other people to pray for you and fast for you. You gotta search for it. You gotta dig it out. You gotta, if you want it. If you want it, the Bible says earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you'll prophesy. Prophesy? Yes. Speak the word. Like I did with that woman, that Hispanic woman I was telling you about. He says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. You know why you need to understand the fear of the Lord, guys? Guys, please really focus in on this. This is like mega important. Because every man that I ever met that starts going to church hears about what's called the fear of the Lord and it immediately turns them off. I ain't gonna be afraid of nobody. I'm a man. I ain't afraid of nobody. Why? If God needs me to be afraid of him? I said, yeah, man, I understand that. That kept you alive in the street, but that's gonna kill you in the church. Because the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Arrogance, pride, and the evil way. That's what the fear of the Lord is. It's not, oh, I'm afraid of God. It's, yes, Lord. Let me explain to you the purest sense of the fear of the Lord. In the Bible, the angel of God appears to a young girl about 14 or 15 years old named Mary. And he says to her, you're blessed of the Lord. And the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you'll have a son, and he will save his people from his sin. He tells, but a knife shall pierce your heart. He goes through the whole plan. And you know what Mary said when she heard all that waited for her in her life? Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Now, as a man, I don't want to identify it with a woman, but oh, I so admire somebody who could stand before God and say, behold, the servant of the Lord. Basically, do your worst. Whatever the plan is, as long as I walk. The best place, listen, the safest place to be is in the fear of the Lord. The most dangerous place to be is without it. You can be in the middle of Afghanistan, Harlem, Chicago, in the fear of the Lord, you are safe. You can be in Boca Raton, East Boca, Highland Beach. Without the fear of the Lord, you got problems coming your way. You with me? Continuing. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. Ready? He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. Man, God is a shield. Did you know that was one of his names? He's a shield. He's a shield. If you've never used God as a shield, if you've never lifted up, and I'm not even talking about the shield of faith, if you've never walked in the plan of God, now there's a lot of times that have happened since then, but I'm going to just tell you the one that you guys could understand the most. I was in prison in 1997-98. When I was first about to get out, I was like 6 weeks away from getting out, and I was talking to my accountant on the phone from prison, and he's like, Ryan, your store is failing. I was like, listen, I'm going to be home in less than 2 months. Please, He said, but you owe taxes. You have to pay the government $1,600 in taxes for last month's sales. Your sales were terrible. That $1,600 barely paid your employees, and they're walking out on you. You're 6 months behind on your rent. You're 3 months behind on your mortgage. Ryan, it's over. And I said, I can't. She said, I'm going to tell the state that you are closed. That way, you won't owe them. I'll tell them that we closed for the month. And I said, I can't do that. I can't. She goes, what do you want me to do? Write the check. Just write the check. If it bounces, then I'll worry. I'll be out soon. By the time it all comes, write the check. We had the best weekend we had in a year. God met the need because I used God as a shield. Now listen, I don't say put God out there like that. I'm not telling you that's write the blank. I'm telling you, in that circumstance, in that situation, I sensed, I felt, even as a young believer, 2 years old in the Lord, I can't lie. This is new to me. I gotta do something in faith to believe. Are you with me? God was my shield. He was my shield. I can tell you 100 stories, most of which you wouldn't understand because it's, you know, when the Bible, there's a Bible verse in the book of Proverbs we're going to get to, says that a heart knows its own bitterness and a stranger doesn't share its joy. It's like, I can tell you things and you're like, big deal. And I'm like, yeah, but it was really big to me. Not to me. You know what I mean? Continuing. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness, justice, equity, and every good path. Now, you will see those words, and I'm going to encourage you, because it got a little boring when I was doing that, I'm sorry. Look up the words righteousness, justice, and equity. Look them up in your Bible verse, in your Bible search. If you don't know how to do this, ask somebody. Look up in the Greek. Look them up in the Hebrew. Now, this is the Old Testament, so it's in Hebrew, but you can look it up in the Latin, in the Greek, because there's what's called the Septuagint. When the Bible itself was originally translated, before it was translated into English, it was first translated into Latin. And then, if you didn't know, the Bible is written in Hebrew, in Greek, and Aramaic, some parts. And then the Latin Vulgate came out, which was translated by 70 people who translated it into the Latin, and then it was translated into all different languages. You learn something. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, listen, verse 10 is huge for me because you know what was pleasant to my soul? Robbing people. A pocket full of money. Getting over on some chick. That was pleasant to me. And when you grow up and you accept Christ as your Savior, when wickedness no longer makes you happy, when the foulness of this earth starts to, I don't know why that doesn't taste good anymore. When knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you, and it will deliver you from the way of evil. Ready, ladies? From the man who speaks perverse things. From those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. You know what's a crazy thing in the church? You see this all the time. It's crazy. Somebody will come to church. They'll get saved. They'll start walking with the Lord. And then they'll meet somebody. Could be a guy, could be a girl. And they start to tell me how, oh, they're in this relationship now, and that's why I don't go to church. And I say, why don't you bring them to church? Oh, man, I don't think they'll come to church. They're not really a Christian. I say, bring them anyway. Tell them this is your life. Tell them you won't sleep with them unless they come to church. I don't know. Just get them here. Then they come to church. That person gets saved, gets serious about the Lord, and then the other person falls away. And as a pastor, you sit and you go, now why did that person come to church? Was it so that person could get saved? You always follow this weird little plan, and it's like, well, that I know that person, and that person got saved, but then they brought their girlfriend, but then their girlfriend got saved, and then the girlfriend got more serious about the Lord than that person, and then she wouldn't do anything ungodly with that person, so he got mad and he left him, but he was the one that came in the first place. But then what happened is then the girl invited her family. Her family, they became a part of church. She went to college. We never saw her again. Stop walking with her. Why did they? How does this? Who's this for? It's so crazy. I found out these people were missionaries. I have a friend of mine I invited to church. I'm going back. Laborio. Ricardo Laborio, my original master in jiu-jitsu, we call master, maestre in Portuguese. And came to church one time, and he brought his daughter. He has a little daughter that was blind. She had the sutures in her head that closed up too early, and the doctors didn't recognize it. And she wound up being blind from like 3 years old. It was a crazy story. Well, she comes, he brings her to church, and we pray over her for a healing, and obviously God didn't do a supernatural healing, but it'll a lot of amazing things. But when she came to church, she brought her older sister with her. Her older sister was like 17, 18 years old, and she came because her family went, and she wasn't a Christian. And they came to church like 3 or 4 weeks, and we never saw them again. I talked to Laborio just a couple of months ago about this, and he said, oh yeah, you know, Chelsea, her and her husband are missionaries in, like, who? Yeah, my daughter Chelsea, don't you remember you met her? The girl that had won, oh, it was the craziest thing. She heard one message and it changed her whole heart. And then she went to college and started doing stuff, but she got convicted because of something that was said in a service that she went to and started going to church there, and then went to church there and got serious about things. Lord, married this great guy who's a missionary. And you just don't know who it's for, who's going to get it. The parable of the seed is just an amazing thing. And one seed falls on stony ground, one seed. Man, I've had parents that are born-again Christians that can't, they make their kids go to church, they force them to go to church, and they don't want to go to church, and then the kids finally get the message. Sometime the light goes on, click it, and they wind up with more faith than the parent who begged them to go. When wisdom enters your heart, and knowledge is pleasant to your soul. Understanding will keep you. Discretion will preserve you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, those whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths, to deliver you, man, from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. Please, wisdom. Here's where we close. Wisdom. You'll find the next 5 chapters are all about the ills of being in a bad relationship. And your application could be from man to woman, woman to man, whatever. Don't. Get involved with somebody who doesn't believe what you believe. The seductress who flatters with her words. She bats her eyes. She's going to drag you to hell, man. She's going to drag you to hell. She forgot the covenant of her God. She doesn't care about... She just wants company in hell. He just wants to use you. He just wants the milk. He ain't never going to buy no cow. All right? It's an old saying, honey. What are you looking at face like that? My honey, my baby, don't put my love upon this show. Don't hand me no lies and keep your hands to yourself. Remember that song? Dated myself? Sorry. That wasn't Thurgood. No. Yeah. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. Because you know what goodness and righteousness will keep you on? It'll help you dwell in this land. Blameless. You see that word blameless? Notice it's not sinless, it's blameless. Do you know who blameless is? You who have received Christ as your Savior. And don't let the enemy... The Bible says that the devil is the accuser of the brethren. The devil is there to... Look, I know what you did. I know exactly what you did. And he pounds you with it. He pounds you with it. Until you don't even want to go to church anymore. Everybody's looking at me. Everybody knows my business. Listen. Now, two things here. Number one, grace is for those who fall, not for those who jump. But those who do fall, there ain't nothing but forgiveness in Christ. There ain't nothing but grace upon him. You are blameless if you've accepted Christ as your Savior. But know this, the wicked will be cut off from the earth and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. And the reason I tell you this, and the last thing I'm going to tell you, you will hear people often say about other people, oh, he has a good heart. Oh, she's such a nice person. Why would God allow, listen, it's your own foolishness if you let somebody take you down. Because I don't care what a nice person you are. I don't care how many people you help. I don't care how kind you are. If you live a life of wickedness, it was like that U2 song said, if you plant a seed of hate, you will raise a flower of fire. Period. Wisdom. Oh, it gets better next week, guys. A little depressing this week. Look up those words, check them out, learn to study, learn to circle stuff. Every time you see wisdom, circle it. You'll do it 231 times when you finish reading your Bible. Every time you see discernment, circle it. Well, it's only 4 times, but you'll know it. Have fun with it. Study it. Search it out. It's inexhaustible. The stuff that we read today, you can apply to any area of your life every day, okay? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for opening your word to us. We thank you so much, God, that your goodness and mercy endureth forever. God, and I do pray that for those that are here that, God, I guess I just got to say it flat out, God. If there's somebody that's dumb, somebody that's slow, somebody that's simple, somebody that's foolish, God, today may the wisdom of your word make them quick and shrewd, and sharp, and understanding, and wise. God, for those here that are convicted because your word really kicked their butt tonight, God, please may they reach out and touch the hem of your garment and receive this power and forgiveness. Lord Jesus, we love you, and we thank you for all these things you've given us. We pray in Christ's name, amen. Amen. Amen.